Welcome to The Best Is Yet To Be, the show that helps you make the rest of your life the best of your life. Now here's your host, Deborah Bales.
Hello, and welcome to The Best Is Yet To Be, the show that helps you make the rest of your life the best of your life. And every Saturday at 12 noon here on News Talk 920 KVEC, we feature a show focused on positive aging and making positive life choices to make the rest of your life the absolute best. And you can hear streaming live also at www.920kvec.com. Or we also post the podcasts at the show website, www.yettobe, that's Y-E-T, the number two, dot B-E. So without further ado, today I have a wonderful guest expert on the show. Her name is Marie Salyer, and Marie is the palliative care coordinator for French Hospital. Welcome to the show, Marie.
Well, thank you, Deborah.
Well, first of all, let's get started. Tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and what you do at French.
Well, I'm actually a registered dietitian by education, and when I initially moved up here to the San Luis Obispo area, worked at Marion Hospital as a registered dietitian for their diabetes education program and for the dialysis unit, as well as the cardiovascular program. So got a lot of education, particular to nutrition, but with respect to a lot of chronic illnesses that people suffer from. I've been at French Hospital for about the last 15 years, predominantly in case management, as the director of case management, and then the past 3 years exclusively just in palliative care. Only part-time, but we're doing our best to extend that as much as we can, because we're certainly seeing that our population is aging, the patients
right.
that we get have multiple chronic illnesses that can really benefit from palliative care. So I found I've just fallen into my niche, and I absolutely love it.
That's great. And, you know, could you just define for us what is palliative care, and how does that differ from, say, hospice?
Very good question. I see a lot of patients that their eyes get very big and they panic when I walk into a room and introduce myself that I'm from palliative care, because there is definitely this misperception that palliative care means end of life, and that's not necessarily the case. Palliative care is really an area of care that's designed to help people that have chronic illnesses that might be life-limiting or life-changing. It's there to help in managing pain or symptoms that might be distressful for them. It looks at trying to improve functionality for that individual. And it really tries to address all of those things from the standpoint of improving quality of life. And what does quality of life mean for that particular individual? And how does their illness affect quality of life? So I may see, I do a lot of work with cancer patients, and I would say that's the majority of the patients I see, but I also work very closely with folks that may have congestive heart failure, who may have chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. Again, illnesses that really do take a toll on quality of life, and helping them address the issues that, and whatever issues are most important for them. Oftentimes I might be seeing somebody who's just newly diagnosed, for instance, with cancer, and that might encompass something as simple as letting them know what resources are in the community, who the oncologists are in our community. It might be helping them identify what questions would be important to ask the doctors in terms of what are their treatment options? What are some of the burdens and benefits of those treatment options? And in their particular case, what kinds of outcomes might they be looking for? So oftentimes just in the newly diagnosed, it's helping them kind of come to terms with this new identity that they might be struggling with and some of the fear that might go along with a diagnosis of cancer that can be a very scary thing for many, many people. I'm then kind of in the middle of treatment, people that might actively be getting chemotherapy, radiation treatment, what are some of the distressing symptoms that they might be dealing with and struggling with, and then on through care, where people may be looking at situations that are more end of life, and then helping them again identify resources that might be of help to them, and helping them transition with some of those issues that might be very, distressful for them.
And so when you deal with hospice, how does that then interweave with what you're doing?
Well, palliative care is looking at aggressive management as well as pain and symptom management.
Okay.
Where hospice really becomes involved is when the determination has been made that further aggressive care is not providing the benefit that one had hoped for. Perhaps treatments are no longer tolerated, or just the burdens of those treatments really outweighs the benefit that person was looking for. At that point in time, when further aggressive management is not going to be sought after, it's really important that we still address all those needs that people at end of life have: pain, symptom management, suffering that they might be experiencing with change in their ability to do the things that they've always wanted to do. So hospice care is really designed for the individual who's no longer seeking aggressive care for their illness.
I see. Okay.
But needs the support of people who know how to provide really good end-of-life care. So palliative care is part of hospice.
But it's more aggressive.
But it's much more encompassing.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Great. Well, that's a really interesting definition, because I know that I had some confusion there as to what those
Many
two things
do.
Mean and where the dividing line kind of is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in your work as a palliative care coordinator for French Hospital, you help people create do not resuscitate orders, right? Or what is now a new document, which is called the Pulst. And can you tell us a little bit about that?
Right. Well, kind of backtracking a little bit, one of my biggest roles in palliative care is helping patients and families identify goals of care.
Mm-hmm.
Many people are very afraid of talking about illness, talking about death. I mean, as a culture, we kind of shove it off to the side and put blinders on and figure if we don't talk about it, it's never going to happen. But there are many tools that can be used to improve the communication that families have with one another, as well as with their healthcare community and physicians and so forth. So a couple of forms that I am always encouraging folks to complete: number one are advanced care health directives. And that is a tool that allows individuals to identify, number one, some of their wishes and what they would want or not want in terms of medical care. But it also helps them, allows them to identify an agent that can speak for them should they not be able to speak for themselves. And, the research has really shown that about 50% of the people who are actively dying don't get to participate in those conversations because they're so sick, they're just not able to participate.
That's an incredible percentage.
Huge, huge. So when we have very life-threatening situations, about 50% of folks just aren't in a situation where they're capable of discussing those things. So having an agent who understands what your wishes are, what quality of life means to you, what you've always said, gosh, I would never want that if that situation ever arose for me, having that ability to appoint a legal agent for you to speak for you should you not be able to speak for yourself is hugely important. And I would encourage anyone over the age of 18 to actually have an advanced care health directive.
Over the age of 18, really?
Yeah, it's a legal document.
Uh-huh.
So, yes, because you never know what situations might come up, and the situation might arise and you're not prepared for it, and your family may not be prepared for it.
Right. And do you have to hire a lawyer to do this?
Not at all. It's a simple form that any hospital can provide for you. French Hospital, we have them there in our admitting department. They're free. We'll hand them out. The only thing, you can have a notary that would notarize it for you, or you can have two witnesses that would sign it, just acknowledging that you are who you say you are in that signature. And then it's important that those documents, you make copies. You would want one, if French Hospital is the hospital that you typically utilize, you'd want us to have a copy. You'd want your physician to have a copy, as well as whomever you're identifying as your agent, you'd want them to have a copy as well.
Now, who are usually identified as agents?
Oh, that's a good question. Oftentimes it's a family member. Or a very close friend. But again, you want it to be somebody who thoroughly understands you and what your wishes would be. Also, you want to be sure it's somebody who can make the decision that you would want, not necessarily the decision that person might want for their loved one, but what they would want. And sometimes that can be a very difficult thing. I see a lot of situations, elderly husbands and wives who they're each other's agent, and when it comes right down to making difficult decisions for them, it's very difficult. They don't want to let that loved one go.
Oh, I can imagine.
So that's you want to have it be somebody who can make the decision that you would want and has the capacity to understand.
That's another good point.
All the intricacies, because medicine is a very complicated, complex situation. And oftentimes, many of our elderly folks no longer really have the ability to tease out all the components of what we might be talking about.
Right. So finding a really good advocate for yourself is extremely important. And if you're just tuning in, we're on the show The Best Is Yet to Be. And our special guest expert this week is Marie Salyer, palliative care coordinator for French Hospital. So, Marie, what else usually comes about when somebody wants to get that the advanced directives put in place? We can come to you, French Hospital, and actually pick up the forms. Mm-hmm. We can go online and actually find some?
Oh, gosh, there's all kinds of advanced directives online.
Does it have to be a specific legal format?
You know, California has several advanced directives that we acknowledge as a state. And for the most part, when we as hospital employees are looking to identify what patients' wishes are, if it's an out-of-state advance directive, we're still going to be acknowledging that as a legal document that was a statement of what their wishes were. Five Wishes.
I was just going to say, fivewishes.com, right?
Yeah, is a fantastic document.
Fantastic site. And I would encourage everyone to go out and take a look at fivewishes.com.
Absolutely.
That's great. Well, we're going to take a short break here. And when we return, we'll be speaking more with Marie Salyer, our special guest expert this week. And Marie is the palliative care coordinator for French Hospital right here in San Luis Obispo. So please hang on, and we'll be right back after this word from our sponsor.
Home on the Central Coast, there's simply no place like it. Rescare Home Care is here to help you stay at home and live on your own terms. Maybe you or a loved one needs a little help with everyday activities. Driving, cooking, doctor's appointments, lighthouse keeping, or just having a safe, trustworthy companion. Every Rescare Home Care professional is an experienced, screened, and insured employee, not a contractor. You'll feel comfortable having us in your home, whether it's a few hours a day or 24/7. We guarantee compatibility. Call us today at 781-8156. That's 781-8156. Rescare Home Care, respect, and care at home. 781-8156.
Hello, and we're back on the show The Best Is Yet to Be. I'm your host, Deborah Bales. And today we have as our guest expert, Marie Salyer, the palliative care coordinator over at French Hospital right here in San Luis Obispo. And before our break, we were talking about documents that one can use for advanced health care directives. And Marie, can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah. One of the other important tools that we use to enhance communication so that we're certain that we're really honoring patients' wishes and how aggressive to be with care is something called the POLST form, and that's P-O-L-S-T. And what that stands for is Physician Orders for Life-Sustaining Treatments. And this first became being used in the end of 2008, but became law in January of 2009. And it's really, it's a set of physician orders that is designed to travel across levels of care with patients. So for instance, if someone is in a skilled nursing facility and is admitted to the hospital, this is a form and physician orders that travel with them. So when an individual arrives in our emergency room, these orders are right there that clearly delineate how aggressive they would want their care to be. The form is, it's a bright pink.
Shocking pink.
Yes, a puce pink, I think, is the actual cardstock name. And it's broken into three sections. And the first section addresses cardiopulmonary resuscitation, or more commonly known as CPR. And it allows the individual to choose the option of to have CPR or to forego CPR in the event that they suffer a natural death. Many people have very strong feelings one way or the other with regards to that. But I think what's important in kind of identifying should you have, if you would want to have CPR, is number one, in your specific situation with your medical conditions that you might or might not have, what are the chances of it being successful. So when we talk about CPR, we're actually talking about someone whose heart has stopped beating and they've stopped breathing. So in other words, they have suffered a natural death. CPR is a medical attempt to reverse that situation, to restart the heart and to restart breathing for people. I think it's important to know that only about 15% of CPR is actually successful.
Wow, isn't that a shocking statistic?
And those are rates that go down substantially when you add additional medical problems long, and as a person ages, their ability to recover from CPR.
So all of these things that we see in the TV series.
Very unrealistic.
Where they're doing this and they miraculously come back to life is really unrealistic.
It really is. You know, some things to remember, you know, when you're doing CPR and chest compressions, you know, you're trying to compress that chest a good 2 inches and at 100 beats per minute. Which in a very elderly population is going to break ribs, can cause some other problems. And again, the success rate goes down substantially. Organ failure is an often frequent complication in our elderly people where we do CPR. And brain damage can also be a consequence. So even when CPR is successful in getting a heart rate back and breathing back, it may lead to a very poor quality of life. So when you're discussing CPR, it's a good thing to discuss with your doctor so that you can have the discussion based on my illnesses, based on my age. Does this sound like a good idea? Or does it not?
So you can change these POLST documents or the advanced healthcare directives several times during your life.
Absolutely.
There's nothing set in concrete. So as your condition changes, you can then update.
Right, and they are truly designed to enhance conversation and on a continuous basis, because we know, you know, as people age, as people become more debilitated with their illnesses, what they may have wanted 2 years ago could be very different as illness changes kind of quality of life and those types of things.
Now, what happens if you have a situation where you haven't filled one of these things out? What is the default?
Maximum treatment.
Okay, which
absolutely
involves what?
Well, depending on what the needs of that individual that comes to the hospital might be, but if we don't have clear directives or an agent that is clearly identified to speak for someone, It will include CPR. It will definitely include, if they're unable to breathe on their own, it will include intubation, which is a process where a tube is placed down the throat, mm-hmm. and an individual would be placed on a breathing machine that would breathe for them. So in the event that they don't have clearly stated wishes to the opposite, we would absolutely provide full aggressive treatment. Even though they may not want that, but if it's not been clearly identified that they had other wishes, we're going to go all out.
Sure, sure. And yeah, as you mentioned, that can lead to several things down the road that maybe they didn't want
exactly. To
begin with.
And, you know, the whole goal with all of these forms and legal documents is really to honor what people want or don't want when it comes to medical treatment. Because technology can do an amazing amount of things, but not always does it lead to any kind of improvement or a better situation for that individual.
Right, right. And, you know, even though this might be considered a somber discussion that we're having today on the show really is about making the rest of your life the best of your life. And this is a vital part of it because, as you mentioned, these tools are here to help your wishes be honored,
right.
to help your quality of life be what you want it to be toward the end of your life.
Right. You know, when they've done research, and I can't quote the actual sources and the percentages, but when you ask people, how would you want to die? The majority are going to say, you know, I would just like to die suddenly and peacefully.
Or in our sleep.
And at home in our sleep, right? Uh-huh. And with all the advances in medical technology, it's the rare situation where we actually allow that to happen, either because we haven't clearly stated what our wishes are to our loved ones or because we end up in a hospital situation where typically what hospitals do is treat and treat aggressively unless there is discussion or, again, documentation that indicates we should be doing something different.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah,
I was going to go back to the pulse.
Okay, yeah.
Because that just CPR is just the first
exactly.
section of the pulse
form. Exactly. And this is really fascinating.
The second section allows you to choose how aggressive you would want treatment to be. For instance, if you had a urinary tract infection and spiked a fever, would you want to come to the hospital and just have fluids and IV antibiotics? Or would you want, again, full aggressive treatment? Or would you just want to be made comfortable? So it really gives you that option of, well, gosh, if I'm at home and I get really, really sick and I'm scared and I'm uncomfortable and I'm in pain, I want to go to the hospital because I need help, but maybe I just want to be made comfortable. Or maybe I want just minimal treatment. Or do I want full aggressive treatment? So that second section really allows you to kind of come up with a game plan that makes sense for you.
Right. So it's very individualized and it's
absolutely.
Got degrees along the continuum here. So it's not black and white.
Right. Absolutely.
So that's really important.
The third part of the form, the third and last part, is the option of tube feedings or artificial feedings or not. Again, that's an area where a lot of people have kind of very clear, definite ideas of if they would want a tube feeding or not. Terry Schiavo is a
right.
An example of the tube feeding issue, but also an example of someone who did not have an advanced care health directive.
Mm-hmm.
So there was the battle there between
right.
her husband and family. So tube feedings, that's the kind of that final section. That is an area which I think is really important for people to have discussion about. You know, one of the things as a culture and as human beings, we're always trying to nurture. And we think of food as a way of
right.
nurturing people. And so that can be a very charged question when we talk about, well, we have an individual who can no longer swallow, either because of a stroke, maybe they have a throat cancer that is inhibiting their ability to take enough nutrients in. And the question of tube feeding comes up. And many people feel that, boy, if I don't provide this tube feeding, am I going to be starving my loved one? And when you have an individual that has a lot of medical, underlying medical problems, sometimes advanced dementia will lead to swallowing mm-hmm. problems. We're really talking about, here we now have an individual that can no longer gain benefit from the foods that they've been eating. It's not a starvation situation. It's more of, you know, is this really what we want to do for that individual?
Wow, wow. And is that the final part of the post?
And then, of course, you need a physician's signature.
Okay.
And witnesses, again, so...
So this is really only... I'm taking a look at it now.
Sure.
It's one page.
Front and back.
Front and back. It's really very straightforward. It enables you to understand exactly what goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have your physician sign it, and it's on this wonderful puce pink paper that is immediately identifiable in the
Absolutely.
Case of an emergency.
and should travel with you.
Yeah.
So those of you at home that maybe have a vial of life.
Yes, this would be...
Could go right in there.
That would
because
be...
first responders are trained to go right to that vial of life on the refrigerator. If that's in there, they'll take it with them to the hospital.
Fantastic. Well, Marie, if someone wants to ask you any questions, can you give us your contact info?
Oh, absolutely. I'm at French Hospital. A direct phone number would be 597-6789. I'm very rarely sitting in my office, though, but if you leave a message, I'd be happy to get back with you. Or you can email me at marie.salyer@chw.edu, and that's marie.salyer@chw.edu.
That's fantastic. And also, if you want more information on the POLST or copy of the form, please go out to www.capolst.org. Well, we have reached the end of our program, and I want to thank Marie Salyer, the palliative care coordinator at French Hospital, for being a fantastic guest expert.
Well, thank you for having me
this week on the show. And remember, you can call me anytime for more information and details about the POLST. I'll be happy to help come out and help you fill this thing out, too, as
well.
And just
so you know, all physicians' offices really should have the POLST.
Okay, great. All righty, and until next week, please give me a call at 805-550-2023. And this is Deborah Bales wishing you all the chance to make the rest of your life the best of your life. See you next week.
Thank you for listening to The Best Is Yet To Be, brought to you by ResCare Home Care, respect and care at home. For the best in home care, call 781-8156. That's 781-8156.